Well, thank you for joining us this morning, and we'll get to our lesson this morning in the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter and chapter number 3. So we're moving slowly but surely through the book of 1 Peter. Some wonderful, wonderful truths. As I said last week, it's good just to go through a book of the Bible slowly and study the words. And actually, we could take longer on this wonderful book. We could go verse by verse, but we do need to move along, or else we won't be finished by the end of the year. So 1 Peter chapter number 3 is where we are this morning, and let's look at verses 1 to 4. And here the Lord is giving some instructions about the home, about the home. So some important lessons for all of us this morning, not just ladies, but husbands, wives, children. Everyone has something from the Lord here in these verses. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, and look with me there at verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that of outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this special book. Lord, that you wrote to believers who were suffering, who were facing horrific persecution, Lord. And Lord, we can only try and imagine what they experienced. And Lord, our life and our suffering, Lord, is nothing compared to the suffering of these believers. Lord, we thank you that you are our God. And Lord, as we face trials, as we face persecution to a measure in our lives, in this world, in this day, Lord, help us to claim the same victory that you offer to all your children. Lord, we thank you for these verses, Lord, that help us to have victory in the home. Lord, I do pray that you would, Lord, help us to glorify you. Lord, help our lives to shine not only out in the public, but in our own homes among those who we love the most. Lord, help us in your truth this morning to bring praise and glory to you through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we continue on in the book of 1 Peter, remember the context is suffering believers, believers that are facing persecution. And as we move into chapter 3, interestingly, the Lord begins to focus on the home, the marriage relationship. And you know, when we think about trials in our lives, when we think about difficulties, they just don't exist outside our homes, do they? Often they exist inside the home. Often we face trials and testings inside our very own homes. And, you know, it's one thing to be rejected by those outside the home. It's another thing to face difficulties inside the home. But the good news is for us this morning that God, who gives us victory in the world, also gives us victory in our private lives. Amen. He is the Lord of our lives. He is the Lord of our soul. And here in 1 Peter chapter 3, God gives some specific instructions concerning the home. Now remember, these believers that Peter was writing to, many of them were new believers. Now, just like you'll find in any typical church, even today, I believe, more women and more people in the church are women, represented by women, than there are men. Why? Mostly because of the fact that men have a big struggle with pride. Men don't want to admit they need a Savior, and more often than not, women are willing to be more humble. You see more women generally in any given church than men. Now, here in this letter, God writes to some women that were facing a specific difficulty in their homes. You see, many of these women that got saved were already married. They were married before they were saved, and when they became Christians, many of them had unsaved husbands. And they were wondering, well, what do we do now? I'm saved, but my husband's unsaved. How can I live in victory? How can I live a Christian life now? Now, let me just say this. The clear teaching of the Word of God, as found in 2 Corinthians 6:14, is that it's not God's will for any Christian to marry someone who's not a Christian. That's very clear. God isn't talking to these kind of people this morning. He's talking to those who are already married, and then the wife got saved, but the husband was yet unmarried. And God gives some helpful advice for the home. Now, if you're not a wife that's married to an unsaved man, don't tune out this morning, amen? Because there's something in here for all of us. There's something for every husband, every man, every woman, every wife, every daughter, every son. There's something in here for everyone, for us, so that you and I can be strong in our home, so we can strengthen the things in our home. Let's have a look, Roman numeral number 1 in your notes, at the first point. The Bible tells us she regards submission to her husband. She regards submission to her husband. So that's what we're going to look at first of all. Your blank is the word regards. She regards submission to her husband. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in, what's the next word? Subjection to your own husbands. Now, if we read too quickly, we'll miss out on the all-important word in this verse. And you might say, Pastor, the most important word here is subjection. But let me share with you, that's not the most important word. The most important word is the first one, likewise. Likewise. You see, that is a word that refers to something God has already told us in previous verses. Now, you remember last week we spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke about the fact, and look with me at the end of chapter number 2, we spoke about the fact that Christ gave us an example that we should follow in His steps. You remember, the Bible tells us that God became a man. God took upon Himself human flesh. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was reviled, He was persecuted, but the Bible tells us when He suffered, verse 23, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. You see, the Lord was willing to humble Himself and become a man without ceasing to be God. Now, look up here this morning before we move on further. Christ is the example for us to live in the home. And what the Bible is saying, He's saying, the Bible is saying, likewise, ye wives, follow Christ's example in subjection. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ submitted Himself to the will of God the Father. Is that right? Why did He do that? Did He do that because He was less than God the Father? Yes or no? Did He submit Himself to God the Father because He was less than 100% God? Yes or no? No. Jesus Christ is exactly 100% God as God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. He is not less worthy. He is not less in deity. But He submitted Himself to the will of God the Father to die on the cross. Why? So that the plan and the purpose of salvation will be accomplished. Now, don't miss the point here. For wives in the home, specifically in this verse, the Bible says, this is your example. The word subjection here means, wives, follow the example of Jesus Christ and submit under your husbands in the home so that God's purpose for your home will be fulfilled. Isn't that beautiful? I think it's amazing. Amazing, that word, likewise. You see, today, the word submission is a dirty word, isn't it? You can say yes. Even among many Christians. I don't want to submit. No way. That's what our flesh says. I'm not going to submit. Unfortunately, more husbands and wives are more eager and keen to win the fights in their home, to be contentious in their home, than they are willing to submit one to another. And the problem is, we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. We forget that He gave us the example, that we may follow in His steps. And there's no more beautiful example than the Lord Jesus Christ for us to follow and wives to submit under husbands for that sake of God accomplishing His purpose in the home. There is no stronger example. There is no stronger example. Then what is God's purpose? We know what God's purpose was in salvation, for the Lord Jesus Christ humbling Himself. But what is God's purpose for wives with unsaved husbands submitting themselves to their husbands in humility and subjection? What is the purpose? Notice verse number 1, that if any obey not the word, that's the husbands, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. Don't miss it. God is saying as Christian wives live humbly and in subjection to their unsaved husbands, their behavior, their Christ-like behavior, will help that husband to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That is powerful. And that is amazing. That our testimony in the home, and by the way, it's not just wives, our testimony in the home will help others in our home, in our family, come to Christ as Savior. That is God's purpose. For us to have victory and to be strong in the home. Now, it's not just for the wives. Have a look in Ephesians 5:21 in your notes. You see, if the wife was less important or less in quality than the husband, then God would never have written Ephesians 5:21. Amen? Look with me there. The Bible says, let's read together, on two, one, two, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So as husbands and wives, we are to submit ourselves one to another. Not just the wife being in subjection to the husband, but the husband is to submit himself also to the wife. And you see, the example that we're given is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not a matter of who's the head of the home and the husband saying, look, I'm the head and you just do what I want you to do. The question is not who's the head of the home. The question is who is more Christ-like in the home. See, that's what we need to strive for. Being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Being willing to be humbled. Submitting ourselves one to another. You know what the secret is to a happy home? A happy home is where we're self-sacrificing, not self-serving. The moment our lives are focused on ourselves, we become self-serving, trouble blows up in the home. Isn't that true? So much of our arguments, our contention, our problems in the home have to do with the fact that all I care about is me rather than someone else. And what the Bible says, we are to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Self-serving is another word for selfishness. And we need to be self-sacrificing, not self-serving. And so this is one of the ways to have victory in the home, to follow the example. Likewise, amen? Likewise, follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important. You know, when we think about submission, you have a sinful flesh, I have a sinful flesh, and that sinful flesh doesn't want to be in submission to no one, to nothing, except me, myself, and I. Isn't that true? You can say amen. Absolutely. That's why there is much contention at home. Because of the fact we don't want to be humble enough to admit we're wrong. Be humble enough to forgive. Be humble enough to talk instead of fight. Be humble enough to pray instead of argue. You know, we need to be humble in the home. And let me say this. The wife is not less important than the husband, amen? That's not what subjection is all about. And when the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that example, He is no less than God, yet He humbled Himself to the will of the Father to accomplish the purpose of salvation. As a godly woman, a godly wife, humbles herself in the home under subjection of the husband, she is accomplishing God's purpose of spiritual growth in the home through her godly testimony. It's got nothing to do with being less than the husband. For example, if you and I are stopped by a police officer, and that police officer says, look, the road is closed up ahead, you're going to have to take the long way around to the city, and you're going to have to take another 30 minutes detour, and you can't go straight, well, what is our responsibility? Well, our responsibility is to submit ourselves to the authority of the police officer. Is that right? Absolutely. We must submit ourselves to their authority. Why? Why should we do that? Is the police officer a better person than you and I? Yes or no? No. Is he more valuable to God than you and I? No. But we submit ourselves to the law and the police officer because there is an order and a set a chain of command in place. And God has also set an order and chain of command in the home. Why? For the functioning and the proper blessing upon our homes. That's why. Do you see, God has a plan. And if we stick to His plan, we'll experience His blessings. But the question is, are we willing to put down that sinful flesh, amen, that raises up its ugly head and just focuses on me, myself, and I? You see, the godly wife regards submission. And this is probably the most difficult example, wouldn't you say, of a relationship in the home. This is the most difficult. No wonder God gives us the most difficult example. So for those of us who are not in that situation, we know that, hey, we can do this too, amen. If you don't have an unsaved husband living in the home, wives, well, we can certainly follow this example. This is probably the most hardest and challenging trial in the life of a Christian, living with an unsaved spouse in the home. But God says, no, you can live in victory. In fact, the Bible says the wife will win in the end if she behaves in a Christ-like manner, win the heart, and then ultimately point her husband to Christ. And for those of you who are Christian husbands here this morning and young men, you know, a husband that loves his wife, like the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A husband that loves his wife will find that his wife will have no problem submitting to that husband. Amen? Absolutely. And if you are in a Christian marriage, we all should enjoy that blessing. Husbands, love your wives, and your wives will lovingly and helpfully submit under your leadership. But it has to be Christ-like leadership. Amen? It has to be Christ-like submission. When you think about the word submission, hold it up high, amen, because it's the example of Christ that is elevated here. She regards submission to her husband. Notice, secondly, she realizes that true beauty is inward. True beauty is inward. So your next blank is the word realize. Notice with me verses 3 to 4. God is speaking about here the subject of beauty. What is true beauty? Have a look in verses 3 to 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or plaiting on, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now let me stop here and say, God isn't condemning a woman that puts on some makeup. That's not what God is saying. He's not condemning young ladies tying up their hair or braiding their hair. The Lord is not saying that ladies don't put any effort in looking nice. That's not what the Lord is saying. But God is saying, simply this morning, that the outward appearance is not the true definition of beauty. Real beauty is not on the outside, but is on the inside. That's what God is saying. And in a culture that we live in today, where is the emphasis? Is it on the inside? No, it's everything. But it is all, should we say, on the outside. And believe it or not, nothing's changed throughout history. It's always been the same with the sinful condition of mankind. You know, the believers in Peter's day were facing the same thing. I mean, in Greece, there was vile nakedness People walked around practically naked and loose robes and immodest clothing and revealing clothing, and women dressed in all sorts of revealing apparel. And look, again, same thing today. Fashions change in their shapes and sizes, but at the end of the day, it's the same wickedness of the heart. And you see, the fashions of the day in Peter's day were obviously fashions that draw attention to the woman's body. And we live in the same wicked day, and where women display just as much as flesh as possible to attract men, we need to realize that men and women are different. Men and women are different. Men are attracted by sight. They are sight stimulated. They are stimulated by what they see and aroused by what they see. That's why in the Bible, God speaks a lot about modesty in clothing for women. That's why God speaks about modesty when in regards to clothing, because men are sight-oriented. Men are attracted by what they see. And the same trends were happening in Peter's day. And Peter was saying to Christian wives, to Christian women, he was saying, don't try to win your lost husbands by dressing up and taking the methods of the world to try and attract them, to try and win them to Christ. Peter was saying, look, if you use the world's ways to try and win your husband, he's not going to respect you, and he's not going to respect the message that you're trying to share. You see, the apparel of the world just brings attention to the body. And let me say this, that no honest husband will respect a wife who dresses inappropriately and revealingly and immodestly, because at the end of the day, she's going to be getting the attraction of not only the husband, but other men. The husband is not going to respect the wife. He may be aroused, let me use that word appropriately, but he's not going to respect the wife, because she'll get everyone else's attention as well. And Peter was saying, look, you need to realize that the way that you will have victory in the home is not through the ways of the world. It's not by putting on of apparel and jewelry and the skimpy clothing and the revealing clothing of the world. And we need to teach that to our daughters' families, don't we? Amen. That's not true beauty. True beauty is not on the outside. You can be beautiful and modest, amen. In fact, modesty is more beautiful than the disrespectful and perverse fashions of the day. You know, some people that consider themselves beautiful, and many of the people that are considered beautiful in the world today, actors and actresses and movie stars and entertainment stars, pop stars, you know, many of them have forgotten one thing, that as you get older, outward beauty disappears. Amen? Absolutely. You know, it's interesting how someone's so famous when they were young, but you don't even know who they are today. Why? Because they're old. They've lost their outward beauty, and that's all they had. But notice what the Bible says. God says that there is something on the inside that does not corrupt. He says in His Word, there's something on the inside that does not fade away. There's something on the inside that becomes more and more beautiful with each passing day. Notice what He says in verse number 4. But let it be the hidden man of the, what's the next word? Heart. In that which is not corruptible, doesn't fade away, doesn't grow old, doesn't corrupt. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. God is talking about the heart. The Christ-like heart. That's what matters in the home. Not how we look like, you know. I see people today and married couples, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous how many wives who are married are dressing just like 16-year-olds in all this immodest clothing. And, you know, they're fearful, aren't they, ultimately, of losing their husbands. And they think the only way to win their heart is to dress just as immodestly. What a shocking world we live in. I hope you're thankful that you can be a Christian and live a different way. Amen. And you know, the Bible says, what is true beauty? Well, true beauty is on the inside. When a woman desires to do what we've just spoken about, Be humble and walk with the Lord. The word meekness means to have our desires and strength and energy yielded to Jesus Christ. Meekness is not weakness. Amen? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under the Lord's control. Meekness is a husband or a wife being filled with the Holy Spirit in the home, not being out of control, not nagging one another, not complaining, not irritating, not selfish, but being humble, being willing to be self-sacrificing. And you know, this is beautiful. God says to the women with unsaved wives, He says, look, if you follow my plan, sorry, the wives with unsaved husbands, if you follow my plan and you humble yourself, that unsaved husband will see the true inner beauty in your heart. They will see something they've never seen before. They might look out into the world and see all sorts of perversity, but he will never respect that immoral dress and that wicked clothing and that outward appearance. It might get his attention, but he won't respect it. What he will respect is a humble, Christ-like spirit. That's what will get his attention. That's what will win him to the Lord. That's the kind of woman that will win her unsaved husband, that seeks to grow in Christ-likeness, to develop that inner beauty. And men and young men, that's what we ought to be encouraging our wives, our sisters, our mums to be. Amen? We shouldn't be encouraging them to buy the fashions of the world and dress immodestly and to cause our wives to look like the world for our own lust and our own wicked selfishness. No, we ought to be lifting up the Word of God and saying to our wives and encouraging them to grow spiritually. Amen? Because that's what's truly beautiful. A wife that you can trust. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Amen? The book of Proverbs warns about the strange woman, and it says that you can't know where she's going, where she's coming from. You can't know anything about her. She's unstable. The Bible says about the virtuous woman that her husband trusteth in her. He doesn't need a lot of money. I'm just paraphrasing. Husband doesn't need a lot of money to please his wife. Why? Because she's a godly woman. She's not after money. She's after the Lord. Amen. You see, the outward is not the focus. It needs to be the inward in our homes. And husbands, as we encourage our wives to grow, we will see a true beauty that will cause the home to be a happy home. We need to teach that to our sons. Amen? Too many of young Christian men, let's be honest, too many young Christian men are just addicted to the world's fashions, the world's lusts. And what do they go looking for once they get out of the home? A worldly woman. Why? Because we haven't lifted up the standard of God's Word in our home. We haven't shown our children the inner beauty of Christ-likeness. That's what we need to show them. So they don't go looking for the wrong thing. Victory in the home is so important. She regards submission. She realizes true beauty is inward. What's the result? Thirdly, she reaches those who she loves. What an amazing truth. Roman numeral number 3, she reaches those who she loves. You see, God's plan works, amen? God's plan in the home works. The Bible says that a wife will win the heart of her husband through Christ's likeness and submission to him. It may not make sense in the flesh, but that's okay. The gospel does not make sense in the flesh. But you still got saved, amen? Absolutely. And neither does submission. Submission does not make sense in the flesh, but when we obey the Lord, beautiful things happen in the home. The Bible says that God can use that wife to bring that husband to Christ. And if we grow in Christ in our home, whether we are husbands, wives, sons, daughters, if we focus on our inner beauty, the spiritual life within, we will reach those who we love. We will reach those in our home. Let me ask you, parents, are your children saved? Are your children saved? You can reach them through your Christ-like example. You know, if you are a mum, a wife, because of the context we're talking about this morning, that's just someone who loves to win the argument, doesn't want to be humble, always wants to have the last word, wants to fight, wants to be contentious, you know what? Your daughters will grow up the same way. Absolutely. Your children will see your example. How do we win them in the home? Well, be as much as the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. Amen? Now, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. We all need to grow. Amen? We need to take seriously this issue of being strong in the home. Being strong in the home. Having godly standards. Having standards that are not the world standards. Not looking at the world and going, well, that's working for them. Maybe I'll try that. No. Obeying the Word of God. And believing that God's promises are true. If we live God's way, we'll have a happy home. Amen? We'll have a happy home. We'll have a home that the Lord blesses. Godly wives, in fact, can point an unsaved husband to Christ. Godly parents can point their unsaved children to Christ. And if we follow God's plan, we will have victory in the home. Now remember, as I close, it won't be easy, all right? It won't be easy. That's what God is saying. Because the wife with an unsaved husband every day will face great battles in the home. Great battles, because he's not saved. He's not saved. But amazingly, God says to this Christian wife, through me, you can do it. Amen? Through me, you can win. Win what? Win the heart of the husband and then point them to Jesus Christ. Now that's the most important thing in the world. What's more important? What's the most important thing in the world? The ones we love. Amen? The ones we love. And we can impact them in the home if we're willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ. If we're willing to be that example, to move forward. Let me encourage you just to think about these verses and ask the Lord, Lord, how can I take this on board this week? You know, there's no point looking at the past and worrying and saying, look, I can't change anything now. Yes, you can. We can all grow today. Amen. We ought not to worry about the past. We need to press forward into the future and know that as our families, as our children see us change, they will see the change. They will see the change, in fact, in contrast to the past. Because our families know what we were like. But as you grow, they'll see what you're becoming. God can still use you. God still wants to do beautiful things through you. But are you willing to submit to Christ's likeness in the home? Humility. Subjection. Next time you don't feel like being humble, think about the Lord, amen, who humbled himself and experienced even the death of the cross. He is our example, amen. And let that help us this week.